If you're physically able, would you stand with me for just a minute as we read the eighth commandment? Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 for our study tonight. Verse 15, won't take long. You'll miss it if you blink. You shall not steal. Again, you shall not steal. Lord, this simple command, as we've been taking time to work our way through this series, The Ten, looking at each of these Ten Commandments, how they apply in our day and age, how they apply to our lives, Lord, I pray once again you'd speak to our hearts, that just for the next few minutes we'd be attentive to what you want to say to us in your word, and I pray that would translate into just a half an hour of waiting upon you and worshiping you. I thank you for the great musicians you've been bringing by on these Sunday nights, just allowing us to worship with them. It's just a blessing. And so, Lord, I pray that we would worship you tonight, and it would be a response to what we're seeing and learning in your word. And so we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we are looking at do not steal. Now remember, why are we studying these commandments? Because number one, they do what? They drive us to Christ. They drive us to Christ. We think, why in the age of grace, why in the age of the New Testament would we take 10 weeks to look at the Ten Commandments? Because you've got to know the law. You've got to know that you're lost. You're a sinner. We try to tell people, hey, receive Jesus. He'll make you feel good. Receive Jesus. He looks good on me. But the reality is people say, I don't want that. But when you begin to explain to them, look, you're a sinner. You have violated these commandments. And without them, you're destined to hell. All of a sudden, Jesus looks pretty good. We need to understand the commandments because number one, they drive us to Christ. Secondly, they direct us in Christ. We live in a Christian culture where everyone does what's right in his own eyes. And we say, why is that? Why is it? Because again, we've given up on the Old Testament. Why don't we need to know these things? Because it shows us how God intends us to live. Are we saved by the Ten Commandments? No. Do they make God love us more? No way. But they show you how God intended us to live. These things drive us to Christ. They direct us in Christ. And thirdly, the whole reason we've been doing this study is that we also discover things about Christ in the Ten Commandments. You see, you can learn a lot by looking at laws that people come up with. And we've been doing this on these Sunday nights. Look at these dumb laws that people come up with in the United States. And I had no idea when I started this study that whaling was such a problem in the United States. I really had no idea. Remember last week I told you that it's illegal to whale within the Nebraska state border? And remember we put the map up? We got the map, right? You know where Nebraska is, right? It's like right in the middle of that map with no ocean around it. So it's illegal to whale in Nebraska. But I found out this week, it's also illegal to whale in Oklahoma and in Utah. Both are landlocked, by the way. But apparently this is an issue for in Tennessee, also landlocked, it is illegal to shoot any animal from an automobile except a whale. Except a whale. If you're cruising in your Ford and you see a whale walking down the street, I guess, you are free to shoot it as long as you are in Tennessee. In Washington State, up on the left-hand side corner of the map there, it is illegal to harass Bigfoot. I love that. That's just awesome. It's actually a law in the books. You can't mess with Sasquatch in those commercials. You can't do that in Washington State. And my favorite, I think, in Washington State, there's a law to reduce crime that states this. Here's the wording of the law. It is mandatory for a motorist with a criminal intention to stop at the city limits and telephone the chief of police as he is entering the town. Yeah, that'll totally work. No worries. That'll totally work, Washington State. Those laws tell you something about the lawgivers, that they're worried about whaling in Nebraska, Oklahoma, Utah, but they're okay with it in Tennessee. You can shoot whales in Tennessee as long as you're in your automobile. It also tells you, hold on, bud. It also tells you there, what we understand is it tells you that when you are in Washington State, you don't want to mess with Sasquatch. It tells you in Washington State, you got to call and report your crimes before you do it. See, these are laws, but listen, the law of God, forget the funny stuff, the laws of God tell us something about the Lord. What is the New Testament verse we have been looking at? That this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments aren't burdensome. His commandments don't burden us. They free us. They set us free. We experience all that God desires us to be as we love his commandments. And that's certainly true of the eighth commandment here tonight. You shall not steal. In Hebrew, it's even more simple. Steal not. To steal simply means to take which does not belong to you. To take which does not belong to you. Simple. We understand that. I was tempted after a long day today, taught this morning. We had our connection class right after second service, baptism this afternoon. Here we go. I'm really tempted to go, don't steal. All right, amen. Let's go to the ice cream party. But you know me. I'll still talk for 25 minutes about what this means. It's important for us to understand because we've all been stolen from. And it stinks, doesn't it? When I first started working here again a couple of years ago, you know, I kept a lot of valuable stuff in my office because I figured behind three locked doors and an alarm system was better than my house. I show up on a Friday morning, doors have been ripped off the hinges, my guitar's gone, money I'd been setting aside in an envelope was gone, computer cords were gone, and it stinks. It stinks to have someone steal from you. So we know that, we agree with this, yet our culture seems to move away from this common understanding. I'm sure you can remember pictures of the aftermath of Katrina. People in the streets, not just taking food or water, we would understand that, but taking big screen TVs and clothes. And if you're old enough to remember the LA riots, it was the same way. It was like free for all in the streets of LA. I read a story in the USA Today of a man who lived in New York City. And he had an extra garbage bag to get rid of. And he called the city and said, can I have a second pickup? And they're like, well, for 30 more bucks, you certainly can. He's like, well, I don't want to do that. So he came up with an ingenious plan. He packed his extra garbage in a box and set it on the front seat of his car with the window rolled down every single day. And every single day, someone would come and steal that right out of his car. Every single day, it was a box of trash. And it's funny, but it's where our culture's at. And so we teach one another. If we're parents, we teach our kids, you shall not steal. But we teach the next generation this, but Paul has something very important to say to us. He says, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? And then he gives the example. You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? We teach our kids, don't steal. We teach the next generation, you can't do this. But the question is, do you and I steal? No, I don't, Jason. I don't go into a store and pocket a candy bar like I did when I was a kid. I don't steal. Now, I believe you. I believe that you don't. I hope you don't stuff candy bars in your pocket or makeup when you're at the store. But the simple definition, remember, of stealing is taking that which does not belong to you. And friends, we can steal in many other ways. So I'm going to meddle just a little bit tonight. Not because I want to upset you, but because what does 1 John say? This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. It's because I love you. It's because I care about you. These are questions we need to ask ourselves. How do we steal? Well, one way I think we can steal in our culture is I think we can do it with work. With work. Why are, you know, many of us have jobs where people pay us for our time. What about work? Do you and I steal something that does not belong to us? Jason, are you going to lecture us about paper clips and pens? No. But what about your time? You're paid to do a certain task. That time is not yours. What do you spend your day doing? Do you find yourself taking 2-hour lunches? Do you find yourself telling the boss, well, I got to pick this up, but you do 6 things for yourself before? Do we do what we're paid to do? Listen, I pastored a church in Texas for about 7 years. I had 9 employees that worked for me. And I think the toughest day is when my wife called me and said, have you seen the church's Facebook page today? And I said, no, because I never look at the Facebook page of anything. But I went in, except ours, except the Gather Facebook page. I always look at that. But anyways, sorry, Skylar. But anyways, I looked on the church's Facebook page, and there was this link to a YouTube video. So I clicked on it, And there's like four of my staff guys. And first of all, they've made these elaborate finger puppets that look like the rest of the staff. There was one that looked just like me. It had a little goatee on it before I had a beard. And it was just, it looked so much like me. And then there was, you know, Pastor Jason Yetz. And they're like, oh, I love to come to church. Me too. In this video. And then it flipped to outside where they had recreated our sanctuary in the snow outside. And there I was again, now as a giant snowman, also with a goatee still, teaching a Bible. And the name of the video was Snowman Duff. Like, it was so, personally, I thought it was hilarious. But here's the problem. I'm looking at this going, this is what my staff did today. And I'm worried about some poor guy working 9 to 5 who's like, what's going on at church this week? Oh, what's this? Video. Oh, this is what I tied to the church to do, huh? For these guys to make finger puppets and snowmen. And so there was a little rebuke that day. A little rebuke, but can't say I've been innocent in that area as well. I remember when I worked here the first time, when I worked here with Bob Brown. Good to see you, buddy. First time I worked here, I was a youth pastor, young youth pastor. I don't know if you remember this, Bob. We had the Tetris Wars going on the church computers. All of our computers were linked, and we had this battle of who could have the highest Tetris score. And this one day, remember so clearly, I had about 10 minutes left in the day. I'd finished the study for that weekend. It was too early to go home, too late to start something else. So I clicked on to see if my high score had been defeated, and it had, by Karen Cole Robbins. Oh, man. Not Karen. So I forget it. This is war right now. And I went to the important task of defeating Karen Cole Robbins off the top of that high list. And as I'm just, you know, doing my thing, Pastor Rob walks into my office. That'd be senior pastor, Pastor Rob. And he says to me, oh, is this what I pay you to do? Oh, man. And I started to, whoa, but I only had 10 minutes left, and whatever lame excuse was coming out of my mouth. You know, now that I work here again, I now have an office right next to his. And when I first got it, I felt kind of privileged, actually, like, I'm on the senior staff. We are down that hallway. Now I think he's just checking up on me. I think he wants me right where he can see me at all times. He's worried I'm going to be playing Tetris again. So I understand the draw. I really do. I've been guilty with it in my own life. But friends, listen, we can say so piously, well, I've never stolen anything. But are you stealing back the hours that someone is paying you at your job? That's violating this commandment. We can steal with work. Secondly, we can steal with our taxes. Uh-oh, don't go there. Sorry, I have to. I prayed about it. Are we honest on what we've earned according to the laws that have been established? I'm not talking about taking the deductions that we get that are lawful and right. But there's a way to hide certain things. Oh, Pastor Jason, don't you know? The government misuses our money, and they're so corrupt. Friends, that's not a valid excuse. They asked Jesus, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, you think the American government is corrupt? The Roman government was corrupt. Caesar Nero was known to take Christians, put them in wax, set them on fire, and ride naked around his garden in a chariot, just yelling, the light of the world, the light of the world, as people burned all around him. Now listen, I don't know if you're a Republican or Democrat, it doesn't really bother me, but whether you were upset at President Bush or President Obama, none of them have lit people on fire and ridden naked through their garden. We'd know about it. Fox News would tell you, I promise. Listen, that doesn't go on. Yes, our government can be corrupt, but that government, Jesus said, hey, whose image is on this coin? Well, that's Caesar. And then he said, you give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God, the things that are God's. And that's a whole nother lesson for another time. But he says, this belongs to Caesar. Give it to him. And just by way of illustration, who knows whose picture is on a $1 bill? Does anybody here know whose picture is on a $1 bill? Washington. You're scaring me there. The next series might be on basic economics. No. Washington. That's right. Washington. So, not even tongue-in-cheek, I would say, well, then what is Washington's give to Washington. Do what we're supposed to do. You know, I read an article, it was years ago, and I don't remember now if it was in Newsweek or USA Today, but it said if every individual in America and every corporation would just not cheat on their taxes, just not cheat, the national debt would be eradicated in 3 years. Now, this was years ago, and we've quadrupled it since then. So maybe it would take 5 or 6 now. But just think about that. Not any special program, not any cuts to spending. If every corporation and individual would just pay what they owed, the national debt of the United States, which is $16.7 trillion, would be eliminated in just a few years. That's a lot of stealing from the government. The IRS actually publishes a letter from time to time of stories they get in the mail. And one I remember reading was from a man who sent a $1,000 check. And he said this, "Years ago, I fudged on my taxes and didn't pay what I rightfully owed. And I've been bothered ever since by it, unable to really sleep or eat. So here's $1,000. And if I still can't sleep, I will send you the rest." Funny, but again, our culture finds it easier and more acceptable all the time to steal. But Jason, government wastes so much, and I have a hard time giving so much to the government, and they spend money on programs I disagree with. I don't want to send so much money to the government. I'm glad you brought that up. We didn't. You brought it up. I know. But run with me on this. You don't want to send so much money to the government? I've got an answer for that. Turn in your Bibles, one last place tonight, to Malachi chapter 3. Last book of the Old Testament, shouldn't be hard to find. Start heading toward Matthew, right before, and you get to Malachi. So if you're seeing red letters, you've gone too far. But Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, second to last chapter of the Old Testament, chapter 3, listen to something that God says to his people, and I'll try to offend everybody here today. Verse 7, Malachi chapter 3. "Yet from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation." And then listen to what the Lord says. "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse," the place where you're fed, by the way, "that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, and says the Lord, and I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it." How can we steal in our day and age? With work, with our taxes, and I believe also with our God. Now, at the risk of sounding like a normal preacher, I need to speak honestly. When we withhold tithes, God says clear in his word, the tithe is mine. It's not yours. Remember, stealing is taking that which is not yours. And this is huge to understand and so different from so many Christians. The tithe is not yours. It's his. And when we're not giving to the Lord, it's not that you're not giving God some of your money. You're stealing his. In reality, all is the Lord's. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein." And we acknowledge that truth by giving what God says is his back to him. That's the tithe. You want to go above and beyond that? That's what we call an offering. But the first tenth, the Lord says, is mine. Do you get it? A lot of you in this church do get it. You do get it, but many Christians don't. In a 2007 Barna survey, they took the average income of churchgoers in the United States, the average tithe, and concluded that $139 billion was not given to the Lord. $139 billion. Now, I know there's some corrupt churches out there. I know there are. But can you imagine with a church that loves Jesus, loves people, loves missions, could do with their share with $139 billion? Many people don't get it. Some don't. Some get it, some don't. You know, December and January are the hardest months for churches financially. Why? Well, let me explain it to you, Pastor Jason. Because in December, we got to buy gifts for our friends and people, and we drive ourselves into debt. And then we spend January and February paying that off. So we give to that instead of to the Lord. Does it seem a little backwards that on Jesus' birthday, we decide to say, Lord, I'm not going to give to you. I'm going to give to others instead. Doesn't that seem a little backwards? Now, I know I'm raising some questions. I can't wait to answer questions. But here's the thing. We go, why are you talking about money? Why are you talking about money? Why not talk about money in the church? Listen, why would we just leave it to the TV evangelists who make God sound broke and make you feel bad for not giving to the Lord? Why would we just leave it to them? It's my job to teach this book. And so I want to teach you how to pray. I want to teach you how to read your Bible. I want to teach you how to fast. I want to teach you how to do all these spiritual things. Stink. Last week we talked about adultery. Think that was fun to talk about marital intimacy? I had no fun last Sunday night. I would rather talk about money. But I'm going to, because we need to understand this. We need to understand this. Not that it benefits me. You do realize this. That like, I'm not on a sliding scale. It's like, oh, tie this up. Jason gets a bonus. That's not how that works at all. I'm not doing this for my benefit. I'm doing it for yours. I'm doing it for yours. Because here's something I have totally learned in my heart and in my life. God says there, test me on this. I'm not a rich man. I'll probably never be a rich man. But I've never lacked anything. And I think one of the principles of that is I learned as a young Christian to tithe, to say, Lord, this part of my income, this is yours. This is yours, Lord. And just be obedient. This church is not a wealthy church. I know you people are not wealthy people, but this church has lacked for nothing. You know why? This church tithes. This church takes a percentage of its money and sends it away from this place out onto the mission field. And I think that's part of the secret. And so again, I'm not up here, you've got to do that. No, you know my heart, most of you. Some people maybe don't, but I love you. I want you to have the greatest walk with Christ. And again, this isn't going to make God love you more, make you have a more sure place in heaven. This is the commandment of God. That we keep his commandments. We actually experience his love as we do. Oh, but God loves a cheerful giver. And I can't give cheerfully, so I'm not going to give. Listen, I want my kids to obey me. I really do. And I wish they were cheerful about it. I really wish they do. I wish when I said it's time to clean your room, they're like, sounds good. Let me get right in there and clean it, Father. You know, I wish this morning when I walked into my son's room, it's like, time to get up for church. I wish he was like, seek the Lord, yes, and just put on his clothes. That was not. It was like, you know, I'm gonna, hey, Jonathan, you know, I thought it was a mad dog underneath his blanket this morning. I wish my kid would obey me cheerfully. But you know what? Even when they don't, doesn't negate my will for their life. It doesn't. God's will for you and I is that we wouldn't steal. Wouldn't steal. What does that mean to you? Are you stealing from work? Are you stealing from the government? Are you stealing from the Lord? Well, here's God's heart for you. He's not angry. He's not upset. He says in Ephesians 4, those of you that have stolen, steal no more. I love the heart of the Lord. He's like, I just want you to do right. I just want to bless you. I don't want to judge you. I don't want to hunt you down. I just want to bless you. So if stealing's been an issue for you, maybe this is not, maybe last week was more your week. All right. Usually the Lord finds his bullseye somewhere in this series on us. But if stealing's been your deal, the Lord would just say, I love you. Steal no more. Don't do it anymore. Be right. Be honorable. With your possessions. Lord, this can be a hard word tonight. Lord, when we're talking about money, there's always that possibility to be misunderstood, like somehow I'm trying to drive up income for the church. Lord, that's certainly not my heart, because there's no bonus or benefit. That's not the deal. I love these precious men and women that choose to come here on Sunday nights. I really do. And I love to speak honestly about your word. And I know the men that stand in this pulpit, Lord, we don't want to shrink back from telling the truth about sin, telling the truth about the importance of the word and the spirit in our lives. And Lord, yes, even telling the truth about money. That you desire that we take a portion of what you have given us and give it back to you. Lord, you tell us in 1 Corinthians that we are to pray over that, to be fully convinced in our own mind. And I pray if we haven't done that, whether we're single, whether we're married, we'd get together as couples, we'd get together as individuals with you and just say, Lord, here's what I make. What should I surrender to you? And then, Lord, as we are fully convinced in what we're doing, I pray we'd be obedient and just do it. Lord, I fully believe it's not your way of raising money. It's your way of raising kids. It's your way of growing us up and teaching us to trust you. And so, Lord, whether that's the issue, whether work's the issue, whether government's the issue, whether we are still finding our way into stores and taking which that doesn't belong to us, Lord, I pray tonight that that would all stop. And God, if we have stolen, I pray from this moment forward, we would steal no more. But we'd use these hands you've given us to bless and to build up. Lord, again, not to earn your love. We already got it. Not to impress you. Lord, that's not going to happen. Because this is the love of God, that we keep your commandments. And they're not burdensome. They're a blessing. God, help us to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.